when you're in a position of power, authority, like the chief, you can't call the jury system into doubt. They're the bulwark against wrongful convictions. And that's what this would have been. And I think that's what Justice Molloy was saying when she apologized to Mr. Zamir. You don't hear apologies from a judge to a defendant very often. I interpret that as Justice Molloy saying, this would have been a wrongful conviction.
Scott Reed, criminal defense lawyer, talking to Greg Brady this morning. And to say that this case and the outcome of it, and certainly the events leading up to it, has got people talking is an understatement. I mean, it is, I would take a guess that this is reverberating, you know, across legal channels in this country everywhere, right? Like, it's a big case. There's going to be a lot of, I think, fallout. And certainly we have not gotten any of the questions answered that we want to get answered. Chief Demke is actually doing a press conference right now. He's talking about, you know, be on the lookout and giving reward money to those that we're trying to find. But the questions people want to know is, you know, your comments. What did you mean? Why would you expect the jury, which is supposed to be independent, to come up with a different, you know, scenario or a different result? And, you know, he wants a review now, looking into everything from, you know, procedures and testimony of officers and training and practices, but also the area of plainclothes officers. Big part of this trial. And certainly Umar Zamir made clear he didn't know that those in attendance that night, where they were being confronted by Constable Northrop and the other officers, he had no idea they were officers because they didn't have a uniform on, right? They came to this country in 2019. They didn't know. So does that change? Does how, you know, an undercover cop go about their business change? Are they going to be still able to go out undercover? I don't know what those changes look like, but the conversations will be happening. Let's talk to Dave Perry, former Toronto homicide detective, longtime with Toronto Police, now founding chairman of Investigative Solutions Network. Good to have you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
It's been a while.
Been a while. As an officer, former officer, what's your takeaway just kind of in the fallout of this whole thing? What's sticking out to you?
Well, I don't think anything that happened was unexpected, you know, and we all now have the benefit of hindsight, which we didn't have before. Like everybody, I had a really hard time understanding why this guy got bail way back when this first happened. And I was as shocked as many other people. But also been around long enough to realize that there must be some kind of circumstances attached to this case that would allow somebody or a judge to, you know, to give somebody bail on a first degree murder charge, especially of a police officer. So like everybody, I've been following this case very closely and listening to the evidence. I didn't really see this case going any other way than an acquittal.
Yeah. And so now here we are at this point in time. And a couple of things, obviously, that I look to. I mean, I think the Crown needs to provide some explanation as to how they thought the first degree murder charge would actually get through to a conviction or even not get withdrawn. But part of the conversation, Dave, is undercover officers. And Chief Demke wants a review of that. What changes in 2024 would you see needing to be made where cops can still do their job, but they're not then part of a court case when a defense lawyer tries to say, well, you know, my you know, client didn't know that they were cops. Like, they're an essential part of the job, but what could change or needs to change in your mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly, we've taken the right step already in that the chief has ordered a full review, which will lead to recommendations and perhaps some training initiatives to make sure that two things happen, that officers, of course, are very safe in conducting their duties, but also that the public has, let's just say, the maximum opportunity to understand that when you're engaged by an undercover police officer, exactly what that looks like. And I worked undercover a very significant part of my career. I worked undercover drugs and human trafficking and some other things. And it's always a little bit of a coin toss to approach somebody under very stressful circumstances. Perhaps they're armed, you know, perhaps they're driving a vehicle and you're holding a badge. You might be wearing some kind of a raid jacket and you're trying to make sure that they clearly understand that you are the police.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will lead them to complying with your request. You know, you want to look at the other side of the coin. My fear is this case might be the case where criminals just simply say, and in every single case, that I didn't know they were police officers, and they're going to take flight.
Yeah, and that is a big, big concern because, you know, court cases are always precedent setting. The judgments and the rulings that come out of them then become the new norm. And so, you know, if you're a police, it's a very, there's no winners in this case, right? Like there's so many losers in this case. And one group of them are police officers themselves, right? They get kicked around a lot. I think they lack a lot of leadership today that would allow them to do the job that they need to do. But now here we've got this new wrinkle where all of a sudden it's like, I don't know if I can do my job in uniform or out of uniform. I just don't know if I can do my job.
Yeah, well said. I mean, you know, taking just the viewpoint or at least the side of the police for a second, you look at what happened and people are quite quickly forget that all of these officers are still traumatized today, still grieving and dealing with everything they're dealing with. And then they have an acquittal. I'm sure a lot of them have absorbed that already and have understood that perhaps this is exactly as stated, just a very tragic accident. And nobody really want to see this person go to jail for an accident, for something that, you know, he was just simply trying to escape from. So, you know, we're all trying to absorb that and we haven't had time to absorb that. And it's on to, you know, allegations of collusion and allegations of corrupt police officers, people perhaps lying on the stand. And I'm just going to be the person that says, well, hold on here.
Yeah,
I have been there. I had three experiences in my life where I literally was made my peace, thought I was about to perish in the line of duty. And I can tell you, having been there, what that does to your brain, to your memory, to your recall is extraordinary. It's trauma. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're a police officer or not. When you go through significant trauma, absorbing and then someday articulating in court what happened is sometimes next to, if not completely impossible. There are blank spots in their memories, I'm sure. Just like mine, there are times in my life where I've lost 30 seconds or a minute. The brain just shuts off and goes into defense mode, and you can never really get back exactly what happened. So the full review that the chief has called is absolutely necessary. I'm very proud of our chief for the fact that he called it so quickly, because it's probably feeling a little bit unpopular amongst grieving police officers, but it's completely necessary. You know, our biggest duty is to protect the public in terms of their belief in the police system, their trust. And this is exactly what this review should do. But it has to review everything.
Yeah, well, I agree. Yeah. Just I'm going to lose time with you, Dave. But you know, the fact is Malloy, and I know you know her and I've covered a bunch of cases. She's no nonsense. But, you know, when you suggest something like, you know, collusion could be looked at, it's going to be really tough because that's going to be looked at. And it paints every officer then that they're all in this together. Right. It's us against them. And I don't know how you keep the motivation up or the morale up when these kinds of investigations are going on, especially at a time when there's defunders in, you know, the mayor was a former, probably present defunder, but it's going to be hard to keep morale up.
Yeah, it is. This one's going to hurt, but police officers are some of the strongest people I've ever met. They will get through this. There will be changes made, no doubt, as a result of what happened here, and positive changes, and they will soldier on. That's the most important thing. And, I think this is going to be an opportunity for all of us to learn a little bit and to see what happened next. But, you know, Alex, you know this. Historically, there's been a lot of police officers killed in Canada over the last few years, and especially in Toronto. And many of those cases have led to, let's just say, either verdicts or situations where there was no accountability to the person that caused the death. You know, Andrew Hong is a great example, who was basically executed while having his lunch. And what happened with that case is the guy, he was killed. But, you know, case after case where there's no accountability. And I don't think for a second that's what the police were trying to do here. It's a no-win situation, as you said. Put this guy before the courts. Present the case as you have it and let the judge and or the jury make the decision if there's some accountability based on his action. And here we are today. We know that that's not the case. So we have to accept that.
Yeah, could have gone the other way, though. All right, Dave, I'm out of time. Appreciate yours always. Thank you.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Dave Perry joining me this morning. On the other side of this, we'll talk about what parliamentarians have decided that no one should be allowed to do. No one should be able to say this word when it comes to our parliament. What is that? We'll talk about that next here on The Alex Pearson Show. All right. The sun's out now, certainly in Toronto down at the Chorus Key Studios. Not sure what your world looks like. We'll take it for now because the rain is coming. We will take a look at the roads, hopefully not impacting the drive this morning. Let's get to our Big Trouble traffic.
Once again, a